Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you are likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experience with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. My name is Emeril, and I'm here with
Lola Singer
and
Sammy Blodell.
We could not get enough of Sammy, so we got her for a part two where we want to talk about how your energy can be used to bring in the things you want to manifest.
Yep. So our episode today's name is Manifesting
Groundwork.
Groundwork.
How do you prepare to manifest? Bring in what you desire so it's tangible. So I want to preface this for the people who didn't hear about Sammy earlier on a part one, which I suggest you go listen to, by the way. She's a great teacher and she knows all about energy because she sees auras. She has since she was a child. Plus she understands how energy works, not only because she sees it and how it shifts in your aura, but because she is a Reiki master teacher. So who got trained by Samantha on Reiki? I did.
I did as well. So.
So we are Reiki masters thanks to Samantha. She yes. really knows how to use energy to your best advantage. And when we were thinking, what would be great to talk to you about, and it was like manifestation. Yes, we all want manifestation tips. So how do you prepare to manifest? I love that idea.
Exactly. And then the groundwork, it's so important because a lot of the times we just think like, oh, manifesting, especially like, I'm sure all of you guys can relate because who didn't watch The Secret? And that information is cut by so much because yes, even though
they're still keeping part of the secret.
Yes, exactly. More like maybe they got 25% down.
My favorite book is right here. I even have it right here on my table. It's called The Magic, which is about the third book, I think, that she did. And it's based on 28 days and of how long it takes, they say, to create a habit. Mm-hmm. And it's really based on gratitude for everything. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's about what are 10 things you're grateful for your ex, which a lot of people go, whoa, I don't want to do that. But it's real much more powerful because it's about your personal life. So anyway, as far as going into that, it really is that The Secret was wonderful because it opened people up to believe mm-hmm. that they did have the power.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
We do have the power. We so many things over the history of our world has created this dynamic of believing that we're not as powerful, we're not worthy, or we're not deserving. And so it really is another side of doing this work is to really start to feel your power, that you can create your reality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But I think what we were talking about with The Secret, though, is that, you know, these people who are like very corporate.
Oh, yes.
Are featured in the film for the most part. There's some spiritual people, too, as I recall. But it feels like they gave us that groundwork, right? We're talking about groundwork. That
Absolutely.
It's possible, but they didn't give you everything to work with.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
The other thing
is like they kept the corporate secret.
Yeah.
And it was very materialistic. So the other thing, too, is like, when you're setting the groundwork, you want to align to it. So it has to be in a bigger alignment than just, I want.
It has to fit into your moral compass.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about The Magic's by the same people.
Yeah, Rhonda Byrne that did The Secret, she did The Magic, which is about gratitude based on 28 days to change a habit. It's amazing. It really is an amazing book because there's exercises every week. And if you listen to The Secret, some of it is some of what's in The Secret, you know. But like you said, the whole thing is what they needed to come back to is the fact that everybody has their own truth. And when I say truth, that means their own actual light. Mm-hmm. We know that when we light up our energy, the person next to us is inspired to light up theirs. And then the person next to us, it's contagious, mm-hmm. just like anything else. So it really is a lot of, I think, like we said, it didn't tell everything, but I think it sparked enough of the light in people mm-hmm. to believe that, oh, maybe I am creating my reality.
I think the first step toward manifesting is believing it's possible.
Absolutely.
And then I like that the second, another step is what you're intimating here, which I think almost every manifestation coach talks about, is gratitude.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's that people go, well, who am I grateful to?
And I'm grateful for all of my exes for the lessons I learned.
Absolutely. I say to myself, let's say you are trying to manifest money. You need to say to yourself, I'm grateful for all that I have received in my life. Mm-hmm. Think about when you were a child, your parents paid for you to go to school. They paid for all the food, all the clothes, all the stuff that you played with, all the things you did. That's a lot that you received. And I know they have to do that, but at the same time, a lot of people think they're not abundant in a way, but that is abundant energy.
Yes, when you get yourself into that gratitude. Even today, when I was putting my socks on, it was like, I'm so grateful for socks, because I was thinking that's the number one request at homeless shelters. I have socks.
Right.
I am so grateful for socks. I mean, it sounds so simple, but you can easily think of five things you're grateful for. I've even told people before, I'm grateful my wrists move. Isn't that wonderful? My wrists move.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. And so part of that, I know we were going to go into auras in a way, but or energy itself, but part of that also is about you kind of going, I'm so grateful that I can create my reality. Mm-hmm. That I can tomorrow I can say to myself, it's gonna be a great day. Mm-hmm. And when you really believe it, you create a great day.
But you also create a shift in your aura. So it does go hand in hand.
Exactly.
Here. Yeah.
Exactly. And so our aura shows, so gratitude, they're actually, I judge myself, but I do have some videos on YouTube that are old videos that I did probably 5 years ago, but one of them is about the aura of gratitude, and it is about what color does gratitude look to you? so it is about kind of going, some people might say green for money, some people might say blue because I'm at peace. Some people might say red because I feel like I'm really energized, I can do it. You know, green because I'm really heart-based. So it really is about you kind of what does gratitude look like to you? And a great exercise is when you're wanting to be in that state is ask for what color you perceive gratitude has. Imagine opening your aura right above your head. And your whole aura flooding with that color. And just feel the whole aura flooding.
So like a shower cascading over you.
Exactly. The whole aura, and make sure it's under your feet, like you said.
That was in the previous episode. One thing I will never forget about Samantha when she's talking about the aura, because she sees auras, is that it's kind of a womb egg shape around you, all these colors. But you actually have to make sure your feet aren't sticking out of the aura, because she can see that. So your feet, she would be like, your feet are sticking out. So she would have us actually physically pick up our feet and pretend we're putting them right on the inside of the aura. So that is the most valuable takeaway I think I ever got from you, Samantha, because I could feel the difference.
Yes, yes. And but going back even to filling your aura with the color of gratitude that you feel. And there again, we know gratitude is about your personal feeling of it. So, but what's amazing is then once you feel the whole aura being that, you take a deep breath and you imagine that your heart is like a sponge. And all of a sudden, all that color that was in your aura is going to go in through your heart and go into every one of your cells in your body.
I love that.
And you just sit there and feel every cell. You'll start to feel tingling. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm feeling it, you know. It's amazing. It's not a set time. You can take as long as you need. But when you find yourself most upset, a lot of times when you're in the 3-day world, you want to keep score. And that means you want to see results when you want to see them. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize that when you are in the perfect frequency, and that's why it's so good. Like I said, gratitude, we're talking about gratitude, but also let's say you wanted love to come in your life. What is the symbol of love but hearts? So you can imagine your whole aura being filled with hearts and then feeling it go into your heart and expanding in every cell in your body. That brings in self-love, that brings in love itself. And also another side of this is we, just like a law of attraction, we're sending the energy out. So when you do that, suddenly that is affecting the frequency that's going out to the world. And as we know, like attracts like. So you'll bring that in. So with every emotion that you want, like even calm, you can imagine water, beautiful, warm water in your aura. So the imagination is very powerful with this, and we think, oh, it's not really happening. But if you get in that state of believing, allowing yourself to that, and that's actually a lot of people have a hard time receiving. There's actually a lot of givers out there. I know yes, people think well, more people that are own, they're psychic vampires that they're taking. And I go, but actually a lot of people have a hard time receiving.
Yeah.
So by allowing yourself this time to do this, this is you giving to you and receiving. And so it really helps with also that habit of not receiving.
Which is interesting because I've told my cells, I love you. Which is giving. And I could feel them appreciate it, but I never thought about using to receive through them. That is fascinating to me because I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. So I've even had people, I go, well, they specifically want money. So I said, what's the money symbol? You know, we know the S with the two lines, right? I can't remember the actual name of it. But imagine your whole aura filling with the money symbols.
I'm imagining like shiny bits of gold. It's great.
Right. Gold coins. I know people that imagine $100 bills in there. Yeah.
And then send it to your, and then have the cells.
Yeah. Every cell, all the trillions of cells, just all of a sudden vibrating in unison.
I love it.
And so that actually goes back to just like a lot of things. If you want to kind of bring yourself back to center or back into the present moment, you want your cells and your body and your aura to all be the same frequency, right? So you can, a really good color is cobalt blue. I tell everybody this. In therapeutic touch, a lot of nurses that take therapeutic touch, they use cobalt blue. Because it neutralizes your energy. So a good thing is to fill your whole aura with cobalt blue.
It's also used in hermetic magic for the lesser banishing ritual. They they draw pentagrams and they imagine it's a flaming cobalt blue.
Right.
For the same reason. There's something about that color, like, stay away. This is my space.
Right. But it neutralizes energy. So then if you have all one color, you can basically, as we know, a lot of people react through their pain instead of responding with energy a lot of times. And so when you do cobalt blue, it resets you to not react. It kind of makes this space.
And the reason you're bringing that for manifesting is your nervous system has to be relaxed in order to receive.
Absolutely.
Which is something we're not taught in school.
Yeah.
Right. So I think a lot of times we see these people about manifesting, and it's so aggressive, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then we're not taking that time to get into a neutral state and allow there's two parts to it. There's the exactly. setting the intention, but then there's the receiving. And I think even the spiritual people, including me, we really didn't learn about the receiving from
right.
Yeah. So one thing that I just learned recently, which I have been practicing myself and it has really been a game changer, has been about balancing out our divine feminine and divine masculine energies. So divine masculine is all about action. It's about going and trying to, like, I'm going to do this because I want to, like, manifest this. Well, if the divine feminine isn't activated, meaning if you're not connecting with it to receive, you're not getting anywhere. You need both energies to work together in order for you to be able to bring that too. So that's super important, because with me, I just kept doing the action, like the divine masculine of just taking classes, going this, doing that, going 100 miles per hour, until all of a sudden spirit is like, so are you ever going to open up to receive what you put down? And I thought it caught me off guard, because I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm doing the work. That's the point exactly. It's about not working. We're taught that we have to work so hard to get something when it isn't about working hard. Yes, there's some action you have to do, but very minimal. There's no hard work to manifest. It's literally setting intention and opening up to receive it after you first take certain action towards what you are looking for.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you manifest, but how do you prepare for manifesting? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, well, first of all, like I was saying, your aura, it's energy, it's vibrating, it's all these frequencies are going in and out, information superhighway. So we don't even realize how stressed our aura is. That's funny that to say that my aura is stressed, but it's true. We may think, oh, we're doing fine. I don't know. I'm not stressed, but our aura is actually doing a bounce. It's a very unusual little bounce. And what happens with that is, as you can imagine, if you were sending a frequency out, all of a sudden it hits something that's vibrating and it starts kind of getting all wonky. It's not a straight flow of energy. So a lot of times we think, oh, I'm not getting anywhere, I'm not manifesting. And it has everything to do with, and I'm not trying to blame you, I'm not like victim shaming or anything like that. We all do it. It has to do with us being stressed about things that we really don't need to be stressed about. And we need to embody everything. Everything that comes in our life is either to teach us a lesson, as far as going, oh, no, that's not me. Thank you, but no, move along. Now I discerned what I don't want, right? Mm-hmm. Or, great, it's a gift. Come on in. You know what I mean? But it should also always be that state of receiving where we're really allowing it. So the bounce overactivates our nervous system. And as we know, our nervous system throws our physical body, our hormones off. A lot of people have thyroid issues. Basically, our endocrine system is about what we receive. And so that is a lot that we're more stressed about, because we want to control how we receive. And it has a lot to do with the whole, if we've had any trauma in our life.
And who hasn't?
Right, exactly. But any trauma in our life, we automatically are like, oh, okay, that seems familiar. Let me activate that aura to protect myself. Well, the stress does not protect you. It actually makes it worse, right? Because then you can't, just like I was saying about not in the last podcast about your head area is sensitive for a reason for you to perceive. But when you overwhelm, it's just like when people do public speaking and they get up there and they get all nervous and it's because they start like, not breathing, and oxygen is not going to their head, and then they start overthinking. And next thing they know, they don't have any thought or any perception of what they were going to say because they've overwhelmed this whole area. So same thing with your whole nervous system. If you've done that, your aura starts to do this bounce, and it throws off the frequency that you're sending out. So how we get that to calm down is the main way to tap into our highest self is our pineal and our pituitary. Most people talk about the pineal gland being the seat of our soul, and that it's divine feminine energy. The pituitary is divine masculine energy. And so you want them to be vibrating in unison, as we know, just like centered. Everybody has divine masculine, divine feminine, no matter what gender you perceive. you know what I mean? And so it really is about getting them to vibrate in unison. The easiest way, because we have chakra points in the palms of our hand, is to actually kind of do spirals above our head. And it doesn't matter if it's clockwise or counterclockwise.
So she's holding her hand over her head with the palm down.
Exactly.
And moving.
A lot of people use a crystal to amplify this. So if you got it like a quartz kind of crystal and you held it in your hand and you just start doing circles above your head, you'll notice it seems like if you have the quartz crystal, it's a lot easier. You can also use magnets to do that. But usually, just your hand. You don't need any special thing. And you're going to do that until you can feel a shift. And it's very subtle. Like Lola has talked about, it's called subtle energy for a reason. But how you know that it's working usually is you will feel a slight tingling either.
That's what I felt on the top of my head.
Right. Yeah. You'll feel a slight tingling on the top of the head or on your neck, almost like as if you were watching a scary movie. and all of a sudden the hair on the back of your neck stands up. It's that kind of feeling. And as soon as you feel that, you know that they're vibrating in unison.
So you don't have to concentrate on them separately. You just put your hand over your head and
right.
Just make a donut motion over your head.
Exactly. And a lot of things are intentions. So you're putting the intention that you want both of them to vibrate at the same frequency.
So you don't have to know your anatomy. You just do.
No.
I like that because I don't know my anatomy very
right.
well.
Our pineal gland's right behind our optic nerve. So that's, you know, there again, the third eye. It affects a lot of our vision and our third eye. Our pituitary is a little bit farther down and back. So it really is, yeah, like you said, you don't have to know anatomy. In my career, I have to know anatomy along
with
this.
If people feel like they need to know, they can look it up, but you don't need to know it to feel the results because I'm doing it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. You could just do that. That's the easiest way to get that bounce to stop.
So this is like a chemical reaction in your body.
Absolutely.
That brings your masculine and feminine chemistry into harmony and balance.
Absolutely.
So that you're in a good place to manifest because you've got the active and the receptive working to get together.
Right. Because it is, and that's like I was saying, so many people give too much. And it's a worthiness thing. Our core emotion is we're not worthy. It really is. So many people, it's I'm not worthy.
Well,
so,
or you could be raised by a really broody, moody Pisces mother like me. That was my life lesson.
Yeah.
Boy, did I hear about that a lot.
Yeah.
giving.
Right. And so the whole thing is that it, there again, it's a harmony. And like I said, I try to not say balance because balance is even, perfectly even. And we're always...
It's a constant motion.
It's it.
That's why when you see a yin-yang sign, it should be moving and swirling.
Absolutely.
If you've ever seen animation of what a yin-yang sign really should look like, it's fascinating.
Yes. So that's one of the things. But also, I've mentioned grounding your energy, centering your energy. So since we're talking about divine feminine and divine masculine, the best way to reset your energy if you don't have them centered is you're going to imagine gold, the color gold.
Which is masculine.
And masculine sun. Energy. Mm-hmm. And you're going to imagine opening your aura and it only going on your left side.
If you've been trained in Reiki, you know this, but they won't know. What does your left side represent?
Your left side actually is the divine feminine side.
So you're bringing in the sun, masculine energy to your feminine side.
First.
I like it.
And then you're going to bring silver, which is divine feminine,
which is represented by the moon, silver moon.
Side. So you're going to feel the contrast on both sides. Okay, and you just take a deep breath and you're going to just feel into that for about 15 seconds, not very long at all. And then you count to three and snap your fingers. It's important to physically do something though. A lot of people go, oh, well, it did it. But the reason why you have to physically do it is we know our bodies are stubborn and we hold on to energy the way it is. We like to put things, our physical physicality likes to put things in a box and
homeostasis.
Not yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to then feel the gold on the left, the silver on the right, and you're going one, two, three, snap your fingers. And when you do that, you're going to put the intention that they're now going to cross each other and go back to the side that they're normally on. So suddenly the gold will go on the right and the silver will go on the left.
I just have to say, as someone who's very tuned into feeling energy, this feels yummy. It's just deliciously yummy.
Yeah.
It's interesting because as you guys were talking and stuff, I just really want to bring it to... I think that even the groundwork for manifesting, especially me going back to it. So one of the things that made a huge life-changing thing for me was getting out of survival mode. So a lot of people, I think that as a society, we're taught so many wrong things as far as like the wrong way to doing things, because it's not so much... the wrong putting shame is more about like, that's just the wrong way of doing things. So for example, such things as you have to hustle, that's a complete wrong statement because that's a survival mode. And if you continue to have that mindset of hustling, you will never reach whatever you're trying to reach. And I feel that that's important to mention because of the fact that I feel that we live in a society where it gets defeated so easily. And the reason why we get defeated so easily is because we're not willing to learn new habits. We're not willing to break out of what our comfort zone is and get out of that comfort zone. But with manifesting, you have a whole bunch of people that come in and then all of a sudden they're like, I want to manifest. And they think it's like all these things. And it's kind of like a work in progress, wouldn't you say? As far as mm-hmm. you have to set yourself right, but you also, there's a lot of letting go of old programming that no longer is serving us that we need to allow. Mm-hmm. And this is where I find it, where the people get the most stubborn and they don't want to do it. And the reason why I'm speaking about it is that was me. When I first got introduced to manifesting, I thought it was going to be like piece of cake. And I feel that when you first start out, spirit will make you manifest really fast because it's trying to prove to you that it's real. But then after that, you do have to align with your soul, literally alignment, in order to bring manifestations in. Which is kind of like, it's a process, but nonetheless, I think that the only reason why I'm bringing the whole survival mode is because survival mode is so big. Because that's like the starting of a shift of you changing your life into something more peaceful.
Right.
When you see people with full on like living in survival mode, what do you see in their auras? Or what do you see on their energy? Because obviously you have been way more experienced with it.
So besides your aura, your main part of your aura, parts of our getting into anatomy, parts of your body light up different ways at different times, right? And people have seen that. we know the amygdala in the middle of our head is manifesting, but it also is our fight or flight. Yeah. So it, depending on how you turn it on is how it comes out as far as either the fight or flight or the manifesting. And so the whole thing is that I tend to, that's why it's really funny, because I tend to see right above your head, if you are in fight or flight, it's like this swirling, I guess you would say almost like a tornado swirling right here. Okay. But if you're in manifesting state, I see almost like when you think of star, a sapphire that has a star in it, okay. I'll see the star or I'll see the swirling thing. That's my perception. Now, somebody else who sees auras may not see that, okay. But that's what I see. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they are so focused on their tunnel vision here. And that's the biggest thing about what we were talking about auras, is our aura a lot of times only is about 4 or 5 feet out, and unless you make it bigger. So a lot of people don't ever learn to make their aura bigger, even if they don't know what they're doing, because they think that that's a scary thing, that they shouldn't be doing that. And a lot of times they're the ones that then put shields up without even knowing it, and deplete their energy. And so another thing is why you go into fight or flight mode is because you don't have enough energy. And people say, oh, well, you always create new energy. And that's the biggest thing that people don't understand, is we generate energy every day. But you have to pay attention. Are you generating energy, or are you actually wasting energy? Mm-hmm. And so to manifest, you've got to have some power behind it, right? Yeah. You know?
And you also have to have a focus.
A focus. But the other side of that is that a lot of people, just like they say Reiki, you're going to put the intention of the healing you're going to do for a person. You ask them permission and they say, really focus on my knees, let's say, you know, and you put the intention out there. And in Reiki, you're just supposed to just be sending energy. You're not really focused, over focused on and stuff like that. The thing in people's auras when they manifest is a lot of times they let the energy be doing that giving and receiving, just a perfect flow.
Like a tide.
Like a tide. When they don't manifest and they go into flight or fight mode and don't understand, is when all of a sudden they decide they're going to control the energy.
Yeah. That's purely masculine.
Right. That energy, they let that masculine energy take over, and then it activates the amygdala too much. It overstimulates the nervous system. And then it creates this dynamic of the energy just being so forceful that it's just like they always say, you don't chase, you attract. Mm-hmm. Attract is in that calm state of certainty, mm-hmm. whereas when you're doing this, you're forcing the energy.
Which is why you need your nervous system calm and balanced.
Exactly. So this goes back to anything that you can do to calm your aura down, calm your system down. And I know everybody can't see their aura all the time, but a good practice is to every day. Like I said, in the morning, you're going to brush your teeth, you go to the bathroom, you just kind of go, okay, what's my aura doing? Even if for 5 minutes, you just sit there and breathe, what's my energy doing? Am I drawn to a certain part of my body? Do I feel, you know, is my stomach upset? What emotions am I not digesting? There again, this is not an aura book, but one of the good books that will help you with this is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, because she has a whole A through Z of what emotions mean. And so you can kind of go also why your aura feels funny in a certain area may pertain to the body area.
Going back to Louise Hay. She also talks about affirmations.
Right.
And those are also usually recommended for manifestation and preparing. And
absolutely. You can actually, a really amazing thing, like I was saying about the hearts and the money symbol, you can actually imagine like a banner with the words of the affirmation right here, right in front of your third eye. And you're just going to breathe.
Like a ticker tape going
like
by.
Like a ticker tape, exactly. Like a ticker tape going by. And it's just them affirmations. And you're going to put the intention that it's that your whole aura is going to start filling.
So it's like you're running the ticker tape right across where your third eye would be.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you do want to do that because that will activate that pineal gland right away. And so then it's kind of a balancing out the divine masculine that's probably overtaken a lot of things a lot of times. And then we start to balance it. So
another visualization, if you don't mind me bringing this up, that I recently really liked for balancing the masculine feminine. Like you set that intention, that's the masculine.
Right.
Okay, now you're going to receive. I loved it. It was just like, well, you just ordered something from a catalog. That was your intention. Now you sit back and you're just going to wait for it to arrive. You don't fear it's not going to arrive.
Certainty. Yep.
Yeah. You just go, okay, I know it's just going to take a little time to get to me. So in the meantime, you just keep that nervous system relaxed and just have that knowing that it's on its way. And I just thought that was such a simple but elegant way to bring the feminine in. Set that intention and go, okay, just place my order. I'm just waiting for it to come.
Right. And that's like I said, even all the top spiritual people talk about our problem as humans is we want to keep score. We want to compare ourselves to other people, what they manifested. We want to compare ourselves to what we manifested last week that we can't manifest this week. We want to, you know, and it really is there again. Then you're in the past or you're in the future.
Right.
You're not staying in the present. The color of the present is Persian blue. Actually, it's kind of blues tend to be just like the cobalt blue. But Persian blue is a very powerful color because it will keep you in the here and now. So you
so
can
somebody could just type in Persian blue to see
exactly.
What it looks like.
You can Persian blue online, you'll see it. And that color you can fill your whole aura with and really say, okay. I think I'm trying to think who it is, but maybe it's Ram Dass using just tell you to go now, now, now.
Yes.
Say now, now, now three times.
And that's because the past is regret and the future is the what ifs. And neither of those are going to keep your nervous system calm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And so there again, believe and receive. It's not that I receive and then I'll believe. It's believing before. It's being in that state of embodying the frequency because our aura is energy. It's a certain frequency. Everybody on this planet has a unique frequency too, which is...
Yeah, otherwise we'd blend together. It
exactly.
Wouldn't work.
And so it really is about knowing your frequency. And what are you doing with your frequency?
And is it compatible to what you're choosing to manifest?
Exactly. Exactly. And so another side of this is going back to the clairs that we talked about in the previous podcast that we talked about was the clairs. You can also go, okay, what am I, is there a certain smell that I'm smelling about my frequency? Is there a sound frequency that I hear? Is there a taste that comes to mind? Because sometimes you'll think of, let's say, a perfume that your grandmother wore or things like that. You can say, okay, is there any messages for me today? And you just feel your aura. And as you're doing that, you get more perception than just asking the question.
Yeah, people need to start trusting their clairs. Because like we talked about, that there's senses that come to us that are very subtle. And a lot of people, I think, on the spiritual path think it's all going to be visual. But it's not.
Right.
Like she's talking about, there's taste, there's hearing, there's the sensation of like when you get the goosebumps on your arms, right. Things like that.
Actual spirits touching you. There are spirits that actually have, you know, have felt some push me or kick me or, you know, things like that.
Well, we'll save that for another episode. I know that.
But you know, but one of the most interesting clairs I do want to bring up that helps with your aura, too, is called clairessence. And this is the eternal timeline. So speaking of in the now versus future and past, your energy and your aura also does contain things from your past. It does a lot of times contain things from your future. So it is about you can actually tap into to, you know, what is going on in your future. What is my aura doing in the future? So what you would do in order to do that is actually, let's say, I don't know, you're going on a vacation in 2 months. You're like, I've never been there and I don't know what it's like and I'm excited, but I'm nervous, right? So what you would do is actually focus on the now, and you're going to imagine that your energy, your aura energy from now that you have cleared is going into that future time.
So you're manifesting the best vacation possible. So the flight, everything's on time. The hotel's right. Fabulous. The view, fantastic.
Right.
The little restaurant we found, great.
But
so
usually,
is that what you're doing?
Exactly. But usually on this case, I'm talking about the aura thing, is I actually imagine that I thought of the best colors that I want to feel in that future
When you're on vacation.
And so I brought them into my aura, imagined them going in. It could be many colors or only one color. It's up to you.
So and people can assign the color to
right,
what they're imagining.
To what they're imagining, because everybody has a feeling about different colors. and so then you're going to imagine your whole aura filled with those colors. So then imagine out of the bottom near your feet, that energy, same colors are going to the future you and filling your aura up in the future time with those same colors.
So you could apply this to like manifesting a perfect job.
Absolutely.
Finding the right guy.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, pay attention, people.
So, yeah. So a lot of times, there again, everything's intention. Everything is, I guess you would say, imagination in its own way, because we are putting that, when we intend it and feel it and believe it, it's a frequency. It can't, unless we change it or get in the way of it, it's going to manifest.
Mm-hmm. So great groundwork for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more of a matter of, like we plant the seeds and the more we water it, the more, and we allow it. One of the biggest things that I just found recently is I was reading this thing and it totally made sense to me. It says, you can't manifest unless you're in the state of surrender, because in surrender, there's no tension. There's no pushing. There's just allowing. Well, I guess allowing would be another word too.
Yeah. Surrender. When I said about certainty, if you're certain that something's going to happen, what I know for sure, you're in the state of surrender. You're like, I don't have to stress about it.
Yeah.
Your energy.
Yeah, you don't have to marshal up about anything.
Your nervous system naturally calms down because you're like, it's just happening. I don't have to put it any, and that's it, is that most of the time we get in the way.
Well, I described it in a previous episode as when you're trying to manifest and then you act like the kid in the back seat going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You
keep
just put
sure.
the kibosh on your manifesting because
yeah.
you put in that doubt.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so believing and seeing. I even have a bumper sticker in the believing and seeing. right behind Lola. So it your aura is interactive. It's very much can change energy much faster than your body can, of course, because our body's so dense. So,
but that's why it takes time to manifest in the physical, people. Listen to this.
Right.
Because we can shift our concepts, our ideas about manifesting, mm-hmm. our emotions about manifesting, our spiritual concepts about manifesting in an instant. But we're on Gaia's planet. And so there's something to crystal yeah. and materialize from thought or emotion or spiritual concepts does require time. So I guess that's another groundwork for preparing, knowing it. We don't get instant manifestation here. So you just have to keep applying this certainty that it will happen until it takes form.
Absolutely. Sometimes your people say, no, I've seen instant manifestation. I said, yeah, but that was because you set yourself up. You have been doing the work to get to there.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Reiki that we've talked about, I have quite a few clients that after they had a session with me, they were healed. Really, from what they came to me for. And I was like, whoa, okay. And it was because they got in the state of allowing, because they allowed themselves to receive, see? Mm-hmm. And they never allowed themselves to receive. So all of a sudden, their energy knew what receiving was like, true receiving was like. And they're like, okay, that's it. But other people, it might take a while, you know? So there is unfortunately, no game book. We wish there was a spiritual game book for us, but there isn't. We came here to be creators. We came here to learn how to, when I say this word, people go, manipulate energy, but it's true. We came here to learn how to connect with our own energy. It is an interaction with people, but it really is about know thyself, a true knowing of yourself. And so your energy reflects that. So like we said, if you're the most loving person, but all this bad stuff happens to you, it might be your energy. We know we have other factors sometimes. But a lot of times it is your higher self telling you you're out of alignment. And it's showing you through things that happen in your life that you perceive as bad. And so that's why, even going back to the secret and the magic, it's about you starting to not receive, not expect everything to be bad, allowing yourself to receive, and then going, oh, I know that's not what I want. But thank you, and let it go on. Mm-hmm. You don't have to hold on to everything you receive. And that's, we naturally as humans hoard energy because we think it took so much to build it. I got to keep it now, even on an energy level in our aura. So it really is about us clearing our energy as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about what you receive as a gift or a letter that's come in the mail, you don't hold on to those forever.
Right.
Letters, for sure, you end up tossing. And gifts, they're great for maybe a few years. And then maybe it's like, oh, I think I'm going to put this in a little box and put something else in its place.
Right.
You know, so maybe it helps for people to think that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the main things that... I do want to point out a few things that are easy to visualize. I talked about putting colors into your aura. But there are a few things, and they're easy to visualize, but it's like the frequency of them. So what's really amazing is the frequency of olive oil, like really good olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
You want to imagine that going into your aura. What it does.
Oh, I'm feeling it already.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It recharges your aura. It expands and increases your attraction.
Hmm.
So it really will. So it's about this really wonderful olive oil. The highest quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel... through your whole aura,
Yeah, it's calming, but yet enervating at the same time. Exactly. It's very hard to describe.
And so just like I said about the exercise where then you take a deep breath and you imagine your heart pulling the frequency of olive oil into every cell in your body.
Yes. Ooh. Whew. Any other good tricks like that? We've got about 8 minutes for you to share some more tricks.
Yeah. Mandarin, like mandarin orange, it is naturally, it recharges your aura also, but in a different way. It like empowers you. When you think of orange, you think of the second chakra. So that's like your personal identity, right? A lot. And so mandarin, specifically mandarin orange, that frequency will make you feel empowered to be you.
I feel it.
Yeah.
And it feels like to me like, you know, bringing back ancient memories of wearing orange robes.
Yeah. You know?
So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And so then another thing that's really powerful is the stone, the frequency of the stone amber. We know amber is not technically a stone like other stones are. It's fossilized tree resin. So you can imagine trees, very grounding energy. What amber does is it actually will clear your energy that is not for the highest good at that moment. So that doesn't mean it clears everything, but it will kind of, I guess you'd say, lessen any frequency of if you're processing any pain right now, it calms down the frequency.
It would help with dealing with fears and the thoughts you have having about manifest.
Exactly. So it calms down those thoughts. Amber.
It's like I was checking something. Sorry.
He's writing it down. It's yes. A good one.
Okay. So, yeah, we know stones also, the frequency of stones obviously help a lot. We're sitting at a table with
a lot of crystals.
A lot of crystals, a lot of stones throughout my house. So... obviously, those will help you. But one of the big ones that we talk about is shungite. Shungite actually regenerates itself. So that's why it's a really great stone, because it doesn't have to be cleared like other stones. It'll absorb what it needs to absorb. It also helps with, obviously, electromagnetic frequencies. But it will pull anything that is overwhelming your nervous system. So it's a really amazing when you feel like you can't handle, you have too many extreme emotions. Shungite.
If anyone's looking for shungite, our sponsor is Mystical Wares.
Exactly.
And if you don't live in Mount Vernon, Washington, you can find shungite on their online site, mysticalwares.com. You can wear it as necklaces, jewelry, carry it in your pocket. You can even put in your water to purify your waters, all kinds of stuff. So,
yes.
But for those who don't have shungite, can they imagine the frequency of shungite?
Absolutely. And you can bring it into your aura.
So should they read about the properties of shungite and then imagine those properties in their aura?
Absolutely. Yes. You can, and in fact, any of the stones. You could go one at a time of the stones that so let's say you wanted to call in a new love interest in your life. You would call into your aura the frequency of rose quartz, rhodonite, and malachite, which malachite's the green, and like emerald green. Of course, rose quartz is a beautiful light pinkish color. And then rhodonite has black and pink also in it. So you don't even have to wear the stone. You can call in the frequency of those into your aura.
Okay. And if someone wanted to work on manifesting money, they could do citrine, for example.
Exactly.
If you don't have a citrine, maybe you could read the properties of it and imagine that in your aura.
Citrine, another good one to call in is carnelian. And the reason why is because it gives you confidence. And when we're confident and feel really good, we tend to make, you know, positive decisions.
Yeah, and, so and it's also really that trust that it's all coming.
Exactly.
When you're confident.
Exactly. So it's kind of like that. There's different stones for different things, but you can look at the picture and imagine your whole aura filling with those gemstones. So there's a lot I know about imagination, but it is about what am I feeling? If it doesn't feel, if you kind of are feeling your aura in the morning and it doesn't feel good to you, kind of go, okay, what color would make me feel better? Focus on bringing that color into your aura every day. Yeah. Color of the day. So,
well, once yeah. again, I think your TikTok is great for learning about colors.
Right.
So if you look for Sammie, Sammie on TikTok, or you look for the Aura Lady on TikTok, she will post a color and tell you what that color, based on her perceptions of auras, what it means. And then you can tap into that energy and bring it in to help you prepare for manifesting. Do that groundwork.
Yes. So, yeah. And it really is about believing it.
Okay. Wow. We got a lot of great tips to help you prepare that groundwork for manifesting. Of course, it's all up to you to follow through on it. So, but we're giving you some great advice
yeah.
here to get ready. I think this has been a great episode.
So there is one, I just wanted to put out one thing. I haven't written a book, but there is one book that may help you with perception, and it's called Aura Reading Through the Senses, and it's by Rose Rosetree, and it might help your listeners to because it goes through everyday things.
Yeah,
and
so
how
they're
to
more
perceive.
Comfortable with their auras.
Yeah, so it's a really good beginner's book to mm-hmm. kind of have and to understand more about our perceptions.
Awesome.
Okay, well, these are all great tips that I wish I knew when I first started. I'm going to be borrowing that olive oil one for sure. I love that. Okay, anything you want to say before we go?
Thank you, Sammie, for doing this episode with us. We're so glad you joined us.
We're going to have Sammie
Thank
back
you.
Later
yes.
to talk about Reiki in a future episode. And if you like our episode today, please share it with your friends. This is how we can help other people who are new to the spiritual journey. And that's how you can help us help them.
Exactly. And thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.